Australians love owning their own home. It's a great Australian dream, apparently. But all we hear recently is how young people can't afford it, housing's overpriced, there's a big bubble and there's going to be a bust. Well, are they going to crash? Is that a myth or is it reality? Joining me now to talk about just that is Michael Emerson. Michael, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Well, are we going to see a big bust because everything's overvalued and, you know, people have paid too much and they're all going to go broke?
Well, you're absolutely right. There's been a lot of commentary around that. There's discussion that Australia has some of the highest property prices in the industrialised world, and that's pretty true, actually. That's pretty well about right. The question of whether there's going to be a bust, though, I mean, the number of times that we've actually had a bust in Australia are few and far between, and they've always been associated with major economic downturns. So the last time we had any real significant fall in property prices was back in the 1991 recession. That was a recession that we had to have, and many people wouldn't even been around at that time. And even then, even though the economy struggled for a couple of years and unemployment rose very quickly, nearly doubled within the space of about 18 months, 2 years, housing prices even then only fell 1% or 2%, so hardly a bust. But what did happen was that they were flat for a number of years, so for about 5 or 6 years, depending on which particular market you're having a look at. So to get a bust, we really need a major downturn, and in fact that's not unusual. There's been no instance in the industrialised world or the developed world where there's been a major crash in property that hasn't been associated with some major economic downturn.
What you're saying therefore is, okay, we have got high prices, but the only thing that's going to cause a bust is a big economic event. It's not
negative
just going to
one.
Happen a negative one, yes. It's going to happen, yes. Not going to happen naturally. So people who've paid a fair bit for a house, they didn't get their knickers in a knot, they're probably going to be okay, unless there's a cataclysmic event. So what would you say, for example, to a disaster in China? Not foreseen by many, but, you know, people were panicking the other day over share prices.
Yes.
Their demand is going down. The unthinkable is often the thing that really does happen, isn't it?
Yes. Look, that is always possible. And, you know, let's face it, China potentially is a source of instability. You've got a Communist Party in power. You may have a situation where there could be political unrest. That could lead to a downturn. Certainly the recent share market tumble, though, that is not unusual in China. And it's still the case that the share market there is still higher than it was a year ago. So it's not really a major cataclysmic downturn.
No, it wasn't. But there was a lot of government intervention, wasn't there?
Oh, well, they did restrict, you know, things like market margin lending and all that sort of thing.
Well,
quite ironic, actually.
Yeah.
Let's
get off China. Probably a mistake for me to raise as an example. I was just using, you know, something as an example of what could cause economic difficulty. But some outside economic event. I mean, you talk about housing debt. Now, housing debt to household income ratio is high, isn't it? I mean, in other words, we max ourselves out.
Yeah, it's the highest it's ever been.
And we don't have a lot of money in the bank. We usually max out the credit card. So we choose to put ourselves in a position where if something happens, to put it bluntly, we're cactus.
Well, certainly if there was a major economic downturn, and generally they're preceded by high interest rates, for example, the previous recession in 1991, we had exceptionally high mortgage rates. They're up nearly to 20% per annum. I mean, it's just unthinkable at this day and age. And what happened, of course, people started to get laid off, they lose their jobs, and then they can't pay the mortgages. And that's when you start to see the forced sales and housing prices start to fall. But even then, as I said, they only fell 1% or 2%.
Yeah.
So as long as people have got...
Let's just focus for a minute on what you've pointed out, because I happen to think part of our problem, just a personal view, is this rampant materialism. Everyone wants a house that's at least as good as, if not better, than their friend they went to school with. It's a shame and a humiliation for them to have a lesser house than a school friend had. How ridiculous is that? So we had a situation in 1977 where for every dollar Australians earned, they had $1.24, say $1.25, in household debt.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've got $1.40. In other words, we're borrowing a bigger proportion of our income, and that must be because we want bigger houses, isn't it?
Well, it's not only just bigger houses, it's also there's been liberalisation of the finance sector, so it's easier to obtain money and loans, and also you've got the rise of the two-income household, you know, both the males and females are working as well.
They were working in 1977.
Oh, they were, but the proportion has definitely increased. Yeah, it's definitely increased.
So you think that's a function of easier money, women finding it easier to get work, and therefore people now spending roughly, say, what they would have spent in 77 had those conditions existed at the time. That's pretty much what you're saying.
Well, I think on top of that, I think you've got a fair point that there's a strong desire to get bigger and better houses. And, in fact, the average size of houses in Australia being built has been increasing steadily over the last 20 to 30 years.
Now, Michael, how old are you?
53.
Okay, well, I'm 60, nearly 63. Right. I was going to say 62, nearly 63. I haven't jumped from 60 to 63. But when I was a kid, you know, you shared a bedroom. Kids don't do that now, do they?
Oh, no, geez. No.
So, I mean, that's the point I'm making. We want more. How embarrassing that your child has to share a bedroom. I mean, really, I do wonder why we don't get a grip on this. In any event, that's not the point. You think things are going okay. We needn't expect a crash in housing prices, and people are just, you know, writing scaremongering stories to, you know, get themselves a headline.
I think so. Unless you really believe there's going to be a major recession in Australia in the next 12 months, which, you know, that's definitely at the very sort of extreme end of the economic forecast, then it's very unlikely. I mean, I certainly agree that people have taken on more debt. Their expectations are higher. They also expect housing prices to continue to grow, which helps sort of, you know, fuel the market as well. Plus, we've got very strong population growth too, which sort of all adds to
that. So that all adds up to good things. Now, here's an unpredictable one. What about a massive jump in interest rates? Because they're so incredibly low now. People are saying borrow, borrow, borrow. But, you know, you can get a fixed term for a period of time, but eventually, bang, they're going to go up again. What difference will that make?
Oh, no. Now, there's no doubt about that if interest rates start going up and start going up quickly and to higher levels, then it's a different story. And that's then when you start to get the recipe for a major recession because, you know, as you rightly pointed out, people are very geared up. They're used to very low interest rates, and the Reserve Bank keeps reminding people that they're not going to stay this low, and that's absolutely true.
The Reserve Bank's been doing that for years, and people take no notice at all. They were doing it when interest rates were double what they are now.
Yeah, and they've cut them again recently just to do the exact opposite, actually. But if interest rates go up dramatically, then there will definitely be a downturn and the housing market would take a bit of a hit. But even then, you know, a tumble, I've seen figures like 10, 20%. Gee, that you need a major depression or recession to get drops like that. Because people will hang on. They'll hang on till the bitter end. You know, they'll find the
take another job, whatever they can. If
they can
get
that sort
job.
Of stuff before they...
Yep. Let go of
the
house.
Last resort to give up your house.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Give up your house.
I understand. So, your only real risk is if you have got a bank loan or a loan that isn't on a fixed interest rate. If you've got a variable rate that can go up as interest rates generally go up, that's your only risk.
And also your employment risk as well,
because
if you're geared up heavily, you've got very little capacity, and it's often the first home buyers, unfortunately, the people first into the market, who are most geared up, who borrow absolutely everything, they're right on the red line.
One of the great things about the European family life, say in Italy, for example, someone loses their job there, it doesn't matter, because the family will look after you, the family collectively will have a house that you can live in. You can go and back and live with mum or whatever. And in any event, you and the rest of your family have significant savings because they've been through situations where they can't get money and they don't want to go through that again. So they always have reserves on hand, which Australians don't have. Anyway, look.
Yeah, it's not really our culture, is it?
No, we're not cautious enough in that context, I don't think.
Well, we've had very good economic times for a long time.
Yeah, I know.
It's been a long time since we had a big downturn.
Don't you remember what the slaves used to whisper into Solomon's ear as he was touching his gold and saying, I'm rich, I'm rich?
Funny enough, I don't remember that.
Yeah,
actually,
well, and equally to the warriors who were getting praise when they came back from wars in Greece, the slaves would whisper in their ears, this too will pass. And that's what I'd say to anyone borrowing money now on low rates. This will pass. Michael, well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Michael Emerson is an economist and Director of Economic and Market Development Advisors, EMDA.